The 4th of July is different at Holden Village. 2 years ago, for example, it fell completely on the 3rd of July, to the utter consternation, I might add, of the rest of the nation. Here, however, the fact was accepted, calmly and chaotically in the spirit of our director. Last year, careful calculations by a team of experts established beyond any reasonable doubt that the 4th of July fell half on the 3rd, half on the 4th. These calculations were based upon the precise time of the vernal equinox, the day of Easter in the Greek Orthodox Church, and the schedule of the Lady of the Lake. But the 4th of July is different at Holden Village also in other respects. In most of the United States, this is a secular holiday, completely secular, like Flag Day, Washington's birthday, Christmas. Here, however, its religious meaning is always emphasized. First invented, then emphasized. Now, those who invent religious meanings are called new theologians. Their theology is called the new morality. Now, the new morality is familiar and beloved by all Lutherans under its traditional name, sin. Or in theological language, God's love. But I digress for myself. 912 years ago, to coin a phrase, this nation was born. How do we know? By means of laborious calculations that could not have been carried out until Roman numerals were replaced with Jewish numerals. These were known until last year as Arabic numerals, but Nasser has ceded them in return for permission to use the Suez Canal. I might add also that he is currently making an intensive study of the books of Moses to find out how he got the children of Israel out of Egypt. But I digress from my subject. 912 years ago, on this very day, the Declaration of Independence was proclaimed. How fortunate that our fathers chose this day, a national holiday. Had they done it even one day earlier, Independence Day would not have fallen on the 4th of July. But with the marvelous wisdom of true Americans, they waited until the fullness of time. And our thoughts leap back today across the years to recall in memory that lengthy line of noble men whose courage, dedication, and preference for tea has secured to us our goodly heritage. It would ill behoove us to go forward with the celebration of this day until we had gone backward. We dare not take for granted all that was purchased at so high a price. We must refresh our spirit, renew our zeal, strengthen our determination, steel our resolve, uplift our hearts, sharpen our vision, and gird our loins. Many a proud people has been caught with its pants down for failure to gird its loins. But how shall we gird? Where in this village can a man get a belt when he needs one? The lift that we need is not the lift that we have, for the one that we have is full of peanuts, and it contains more mice than men. There are even traitors in our midst, the full depth of whose depravity has not been recognized. We have all seen that Jeremiah Davis wants to be in charge of the only Holden Village male, but what have we done about it? We have allowed her to be mistress of all the males. What have we done about those who refuse to serve, or who serve out of bounds or into the net? Well, church today, we have encouraged Stella. We have allowed people to spout their Stella. We allow Dean Rundholm to plant red geraniums all over the village. Only our deer have the patriotism to eat them. And we who should love and reveal them for this, step upon the deer continually and wipe them from our feet. As Cicero proclaimed, O tempora, O species, The subversive plumbing and sanitation crew put big lumps of fluoride in our water and tries to pass it off casually by saying it's only dirt and grass. Ha! Who ever heard of dirt and grass in drinking water? In the very schoolhouse behind me, our children make internationalist posters using subversive slogans like love and joy. The schoolhouse itself is called the Activities Center, and we know why. It is the All-American Activities Center. But what shall we recall on this day? To which springs of memory shall we return for patriotic refreshment? Ever must we exercise care in the choice of our fathers, lest the clear and limpid stream of true Americanism be polluted by communistic influence. Oh, the shame and disgrace of those historians who have wantonly obscured for us the true facts of American history, who have undermined our national unity with their subtle lies about facts. The limitations of time will permit only two examples. Maybe three, four, well. Whatever, we have too long, far too long, supposed that there must be no mixing of church and state, religion and politics, the lie based upon a misunderstanding of the American past. And so we have not allowed our overflowing religious zeal to permeate and shape the structure of our national life. We have adopted false Baptist principles that neither church and state nor whiskey and soda should be mixed. Our talent is therefore laying rusting, our energies have been wastefully circumscribed, and our marvelous accomplishments in the church have not been brought to the service of the nation. Consider just a few examples. Take the plight of our cities. Overcrowded, slums, congestion. Lutherans have shown the way. They have removed their churches from the city to relieve the crowding. Racial conflict is another urban problem. Again, our Lutheran churches have shown that racial conflict can be avoided by excluding Negroes. And once established in the suburbs, our churches have gone forward like a mighty army. What the cities most need today, our suburban churches have seen as their first responsibility. Larger parking lots. The strikes and the lockouts which plagued our nation could have been avoided if the Missouri Synod had only been willing to extend its theological principle into the political net. No unionism of any sort. We have much to contribute to national health. Would not the common cold be brought under control if our poor nation imitated the Lutheran contempt for indiscriminate fellowship? Oh, I am well aware of the spiteful canard often raised against us who are more devout than others, that we have practiced cruelty in the name of religion. The burning of witches is a favorite libel against us. A vicious libel. We know that we will only find to bring also to sinners the delights of the sauna. It was a mere administrative slip on the part of our forebears that caused them first to plunge the witches' heads underwater and then host them. All these critics ignore the massive contributions of Lutherans to American life. It was an ancestor of our own, Calenderly, who kept the British from taking Philadelphia during the Revolutionary War. His detailed directions on how to reach the city were carefully followed by General Cornwallis, who wound up with his troops in San Francisco. Utah itself was settled by not only the Mormon Brigham Young, but also the Lutheran Darrell Lundy, both leading advocates of polygamy. Those of you who saw it in America the Beautiful must know that it was Sylvia Anderson, our beloved cook, who invented fruited plain, topped with lemon sauce.
but I watched him most.
No one, this is not my purpose. Rather, it is my wish this morning that through contemplation of the noble deeds performed by mighty men of yesteryear, we find new meaning and direction for our common task. To preserve America pure against the contaminating influence of foreigners, left-wingers, bleeding hearts, do-gooders, me-doers, one-worlders, and the Missouri Senate. Such names as Washington, Franklin, Jefferson need no celebration. We must recall forgotten men of history. Men like Brigadier General Werner Jonker, in command at Bunker Hill, who ordered his men not to fire up until they had cleared an area 3 feet in diameter. Member of the Virginia House of Burgesses, Patrick Kimberly, who succinctly said, "If this be treason," and it really isn't unless we use the definition that couldn't stand up outside of some European countries where I have friends who will be coming over this year to stay a long time and maybe pitch in to help us with this wonderful cause on which we are embarked several years ago, and for which there's no turning back until we attain the objective that I think we all want, although I don't want to legislate on the matter and leave you your freedom, you should also be free to express yourself whether you feel that we're headed in the right direction or off the top. Make the most of it. Adjutant General Herman Fox, who sustained the men of the Continental Army through the bitter snows of Valley Forge by making them mow the bow each day. The Yankee minstrel Beanie Lundholm, who inspired the youth of the Revolution by setting the words of Yankee Doodle to Gregorian chant. Colonel Terry Saturn, who fell in the cold waters of the Delaware River and was never sawn again. Dauntless Don Rosenhauer, who when British cannonballs were raining down about him, shouted for each one, "I got it," and hit it in the net. Concord Jim, a sexton of the old North Church, who prolonged the war 3 years because he couldn't remember whether it was won it by land or won it by sea. Colonel Albert Swihart, who caught 3 British frigates off Nantucket Sound using feminine. These are names to be reckoned with, names never to be forgotten, names to be written indelibly from the rock-ribbed coast of Maine unto the golden gates of every laboratory wall. But what shall we do in feeble imitation of their mighty deeds? Are there still battles to be won? Are there enemies to be defeated? Are there still traitors in our midst? Indeed, there are. Your own neighbors may not be a true American. Have you suspected your wife? You cannot leave it to the government to ferret out each instance of fuzzy thinking. Who knows more about your loved ones than you? Who is in a better position to learn whether he is true blue and loyal than you? You cannot let George do it. Look upon me not as a friend, but as a problem. Accept his hospitality, then snoop through his correspondence. Encourage him to speak frankly and take notes. You put your children in for cookies and milk and ask them these questions. Measure their hair to see if their money is going off. Chuck their chins for evidence of hidden power. For the hour grows late in this land of the free. First Boston, then Milwaukee has ceased to be the home of the brave. Will Atlanta be next? Put on the white garments of paper.